Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. It's Trina Mara.
Would you look who's come in today? Who are you?
My name is Ryan Tuberty and I am thrilled to be your guest this morning. Trina, how are you?
I'm great. Do you know, there's a great way to get your children out of bed in the morning to go to school. So I said to my little one this morning, you'll never guess who's coming on Mammy's radio show today. Do you know Ryan Tuberty?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my God.
Well, I need two details here. Right. What is her name?
Her name is Anna.
Anna. And secondly, how old is Anna?
8.
You see, that is interesting. She's probably the last generation of kids who will know who I am at this point, because she would have had a few toy shows,
yeah.
A peak toy show, actually.
But you know, so they watch the reruns and everything.
Do people watch the reruns on YouTube and stuff like that?
It.
Oh, well, that's amazing. Well, it's one of the joys of that job was that you became, it's one thing being well known for being presenter of the Late Late Show. That's fine, because you're a curate egg. Some people think you're great. Some people think you're a pain in the proverbial, but kids are just kind, so you'll always get a win there, and then they grow up, and then some kids will recognize you, and then some kids become big kids, and some big kids become adults, and the next thing you know, you're having these lovely conversations with all the heads, and then you're in the pub and having a pint, and then the kids are going, do you remember me? I'm going, do I remember you? Yeah. I said, well, you're 6'2", how would I remember you? I was the kid with the dinosaurs. I said, how can you be the kid with the dinosaurs? You are like a flying amber for me. You'll always be 7.
Yeah.
So anyway, tell Anna to send her my love.
Do you know what? And we'll have to get you to do a video
I'd love to.
She said to me, I can't wait to tell my teacher.
Yeah.
She went running into school today.
Yeah, what a lovely thing. And that innocence is so sweet. And that was that's the joy, the contagion of happiness from the toy show. So I'm really happy to hear that.
And do you know what, Ryan? She even gave me this, right?
What?
And she said, now, I know Ryan didn't write this book, but it's a really nice book that we have in our house, and it's been passed through her cousins.
You're shocking.
And she goes, would you get Ryan to sign that for me?
Oh, I'd be so honoured to. Now, just for people listening or having a look on the social, Santa is Coming to Ireland. This is a book by Steve Smallman, illustrated by Robert Dunn, and it looks beautiful. I'm not familiar with this one, but I'm going to sign it to Anna and whoever else you'd like me to sign it to.
And
that's so sweet. What a lovely thing. And she's a reader as well. I love your kid.
Yeah,
I love her.
Absolutely.
I love her all the more.
She's fabulous.
Happy to do that.
Now, in true Irish fashion, I need to begin this interview by slagging off my sister, okay? Because once upon a time, I brought her to the Late Late Show.
Yeah.
And you know the way the green room, there might be a glass of vino in that.
There has to be.
Of course, she had her photograph taken with yourself, Ryan. Yeah. And my brother-in-law says that she looks happier in that photo than she did in her own wedding photos.
What's your sister's name?
Sandra.
Now, that poor
she's going to kill me.
Sandra, you need better. You need to get out more. But that's a very sweet story. And that's serious slagging she gets for that.
I'm telling you.
But Sandra, my message to you is, we need to meet again and get an updated photo I don't know if she's. Why not?
It might be going to stalker level.
No. That, I'm sure she's moved on. Long moved on from that. But tell her I said hello to you.
Yeah.
I'm loving your family. Come back here more often.
Come here. I kind of feel the pressure today.
Why?
Coming up with questions for Ryan Tuberty. Having watched you on the Assembly.
Yeah.
What a job they did.
Yeah, they were amazing.
The questions were amazing.
So for anyone who didn't see it, the Assembly is about 35 people from neurodiverse backgrounds. Sitting around, they're all adults, it's not kids thing, sitting around with the guest. I was the guest, and they can ask you anything for as long as you want. So I was there for about 3 hours, and it got whittled down to less than an hour. And because it's neurodiverse, there's no major filter, and there's no sense of of embarrassment necessarily. There's great courage, actually, because it takes a lot of courage to stand up in front of your peers and ask questions of somebody who's well able to talk. So that was a whiplash situation, because one thing you're talking about Elvis, and then you're talking about being sad, and then you're talking about being happy. So you're like, vroom, vroom. But it was one of my favourite things I've ever done on TV. It was beautifully made, a lovely bunch of people. And I got some great messages from their families afterwards and from some of them themselves. It was a lovely day out.
They're really direct in their questioning, I guess. Did you feel nervous about what they might... Were you told beforehand they might ask you?
I was told nothing.
Nothing, okay.
I was told show up at that time.
Mm.
And I quite like that. I don't like being told, we're going to go here in questions-wise. I prefer the drama of the unknown.
Okay.
And that's why I love live radio and live TV, because you don't quite know. The breaks get cut and you can't edit live.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of like that edge.
Yeah, yeah.
So with this one, although it was recorded, I had no idea what they were going to ask. So it was a free-for-all, and they took that with both hands.
Oh, it was great watching, though.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for saying that. Really, I mean, they were amazing. Yeah. And
you're such a warm person. You're such a people person. Well, even coming into the office here, you going around introducing yourself to everybody.
I don't know what that is. I think I blame my mother. She said whenever you go into a building, it starts at the reception desk.
Absolutely.
And I really respected that advice from the day I left school, because you know, I have family who work at reception, I have family who work at high levels in different businesses that they're in, and we go for pints and we talk about respect.
Yeah.
And are you respected at work, and do you respect others at work? And that's really important, because everyone has a story, and you know, everyone has a sadness or a happiness and they want to share it. So I lived for 2 years in London, and as much as I loved it, and I'm still coming and going, there's a coldness to a city that size that yeah. is that doesn't exist in this country. And I got quite homesick for that casual conversation in the newsagent, for that casual discussion about, God help us, the weather in the supermarket. I miss that warmth, and we have it. And it's like the big yellow taxi. You don't realise you got what till it's gone. And I realised then, and then I came home and went, my God, how much I love this country even
yeah.
more.
Yeah. So you're back here, are you living
I'm back here,
here
yeah. pretty much five or six days a week. I present a programme on time, what's called Times Radio, on a Sunday. It's live from London Bridge. And I love it. It's 3 hours of current affairs, pop culture, books, cinema, Netflix, whatever. And then international affairs and news. It's my brain in a show.
Yeah.
And I just love it. And then I do another programme on a Monday. So I fly home Monday night and I'm home then for five days, so I can meet you and talk about,
fantastic,
you know, Anna and Sandra and the gang.
kill me now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's Sandra I'm worried about, yeah, because she's going to get fierce lagging. But
oh,
yeah, but so it's a great old balance now, which I'm really happy about.
Yeah. Will you throw on those headphones for me, Ryan?
Will.
Because we're here to talk about The Bookshelf.
Oh, yeah.
Live, which is a show that you're doing. Well, you might explain to us what exactly that is. Can you hear through them okay?
Perfectly.
Yeah.
So The Bookshelf is a podcast that it's kind of loosely based on Desert Island Discs, whereby the guest comes along and they're asked to give us three books from their life. The book that from their childhood, the book that changed their life, and the book mm-hmm. that brings them joy. And then at the end, and you can play this today mm-hmm. and your listeners can play this, what would you call your book in a life? What would your book title be of your life?
Of my life?
Yeah. And you have to think about that. And that's your homework now. You have to tell me afterwards. And your listeners can send in suggestions. What would they call their lives, or you call your life, in a book title? And over the course of 40 minutes, which is the amount of time it takes to cook your dinner, walk your dog, or do your ironing, you learn all about this person. It could be Brian Cox from Succession. It could be Piers Morgan. It could be Marion Keyes. They've all been guests. And it could be Simon Harris, or it could be Micheál Martin, or Mary McAleese. All great episodes. Paul Giamatti's in there. And on it goes. We've had four seasons. There's another one about to come. And it's lovely. So we've taken it on the road. We've done one in Dunleary. We've sold out. And with Joe O'Connor was our guest. We're going to do one in Limerick with Blind Boy, who I'm really looking forward to interviewing about his life and books. We just announced Cork with the Brennan brothers. Francis and John are going to be joining us on stage for that show.
Now, you need new curtains and those windows.
That's exactly it.
Isn't that him?
Yeah, he'll be doing that in the Cork Opera House.
Spike of dust? Yeah.
He'll be doing a lot. And if he falls out, you're coming in instead of
him.
They won't know the difference.
I'll throw on a wig.
And that's it. And then we have a big one then in June 8th in the Olympia Theatre, in 3 Olympia in Dublin.
Yeah.
So going from what happens in the shows is you don't have to like books. It's just about stories. And, you know, we have a big QR code and you tap in, you can ask me anything.
Yeah.
So that's the show for one half of the show.
Cool.
I'm just doing Q&A with the audience, like we're talking now.
Very good.
And they can say, you know, what's the weirdest guest you had? Or what's the strangest experience in a green room? And it's quite intimate. And they want to know everything. And I'm in great form at the moment. And I've loads to say. And I'm excited. And I'm getting out there. So these shows are, you're getting bang for your buck. And you get a guest thrown in and a full podcast episode. So it's exciting. Yeah, it's great.
Have
being on the road.
Have you a good memory, Ryan, for all the stories that you've encountered over the years, people you've met?
I see my life as a vinyl album now. And I have a side A and a side B with stories or tracks. And if you said to me, what happened that time? I can drop a needle on a track and play it word for word nearly. But not that it'll sound necessarily rehearsed.
Do you remember the time you met the Pope?
Yeah.
No. You were wearing a red jumper. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
Needle hits record. So, yeah, there's loads of yarns and they've just been built up over 20 plus years. So it's, it's good fun.
You like to review books, don't you, Ryan?
This is a book full of cartoons, only cartoons, which traces the U2 story from the very beginning up until fairly much near the very end. And you'd really want to be quite over the hill to enjoy the humour because it's not terribly funny for my sort of age.
Quite over the hill to enjoy the humour. So, Ryan, explain to our listeners what that clip is.
Unfortunately, that I'm just going to take these off for me, just to get ready for battle. That is a clip of me as a particularly precocious brat on TV. I think the TV
was it Scratch Saturday.
Scratch Saturday. Yeah. It was after Anything Goes came Scratch Saturday, and they asked me to review some books. And funny, I used to review books when I was younger on Poparama, a kids' radio show. And my voice hadn't broken, so I sounded like a young soprano. And then I got this job as a slightly older teenager. And you can hear the voice is just at that McDonald's server phase. They go, would you like fries with that? It's just hitting that zone. And it's also the voice of somebody who's like, it's so teeny. I didn't realize I was such a teenager. I haven't heard that for ages. So, and I was reviewing books and I was being a really smart ass and wise guy. And, I wish you hadn't done that.
Okay, just throw on the headphones just for one
I
more
will,
moment
happily,
there,
yeah,
Ryan.
Yeah, or sorry, unhappily.
And by the way, everybody, these clips are available on YouTube if you would like
thanks.
The visual
yeah,
as
thanks,
well
Trina,
of Ryan
yeah,
Turbidy.
Yeah.
Finally. Here's probably one of the most boring books ever written in
really?
The world.
Oh,
now, I mean,
God.
Really, Bill Graham's attempt from the very beginning for the obsessive U2 fan. He really has to sit down and analyse this book and read every word with intensity and terribly boring. To the, you know, I couldn't bear it.
Okay.
Really couldn't. Bear,
poor old Bill Graham.
I am sorry. As somebody who's probably older than Bill was when he wrote the book, now can we just write that off? I'm blushing listening to that because I'm really really embarrassed at my rudeness actually for all my talk of good manners. It was a bad time in my life. Obviously,
it's seen as a difficult age.
It's a tough old age. Yeah.
You hate the world.
You're mistrustful of everything. And it's just through you see things through a sort of a darker lens.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a bit different to the kids that would come on the toy show and review the books, and they're a bit nicer about the authors.
They're a bit nicer about things, but we catch them just before the dark lens is put on their glasses. We catch them when they have the innocence. They don't even have glasses. They're just sitting there going, "Hello, I like books," and it's cute as hell.
Gas. Speaking of books, are you tempted to do a book on your own life?
No, I'm not tempted to do a book in my own life, but I was in a pub in London, a great old spot called the Devonshire in Soho, run by an Irish guy called Usheen Rogers, and I was having a few pints with John Boyne, who wrote The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas and other great books, and Vogue Williams, who I'm sure you know from everything else, and there was another author there who I won't mention, other than to say, they were saying, why don't you write a book? You should write a book. And they were pointing, laughing, because they'd written books. And I'd done a couple of books back in the day, but they meant something different. And I said, no, I don't have one in me, and I don't really want to, and I'm busy.
Yeah.
And the author turned around, and he's a crime writer, and I love crime novels. Like, I eat them up.
I better mention Andrea Maris, though, as well, if we're talking
about Andrea Maris, yeah.
My sister-in-law.
Oh, is she? This gets better and better. We can add her to the Sandra and Anna list of
come
respect.
Come over for Christmas dinner,
Ryan. I will call over for a drink. I've got my own family for dinner, but I'll call by for sure. I'd be delighted. Andrea, well, she's having a great year, or did last year, and continues to. I bumped into her not too long ago with her husband on his 50th birthday, I think.
He was my brother.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's my brother,
That's your brother. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Weirdly enough, you remind me of him.
Well, the poor man.
Look,
I mean, that's a bit mean.
You kind of have a similar look.
Well, he'll hate you for that.
Did you look at him and think that? No.
I didn't, actually. And oftentimes I do look at people who I do see a look like, and they'll come up and say, can I do a selfie? I said, do you get this all the time? He says, the amount of slagging I get for looking like you. And I said,
you have a similar personality to him.
Is that right as well? We didn't have a big chat, but we're out there.
So the
author in this case, the crime author, turned around and pointed at me and kind of had the thumb and the finger going both ways saying, we'll write one together. And I went, oh, and he's good. But his books are dark, and I love a dark, you know, drama. And as you probably know, and with this crime novel, we are talking about it, and it does involve a presenter of a chat show, and it does involve.
But it's fiction.
Yeah,
of course.
Somebody gets murdered, and he's accused of a crime he didn't commit. So
where would you get inspiration from?
I have
that
no
crime?
Idea. And everyone's out to get him, and he's got. So who knows? it's a great idea for a book, and you know, it's in Agatha Christie. You always end in the library.
Yeah.
We're going to end in a green room. Everyone in the green room is a suspect. The guest, the driver, the person serving the
drinks. Sandra with the wine.
Everyone is in. Yeah, Sandra with the wine. Actually, do you know what? We might even put her name in the mix just for the crack. So we're looking at that. And that's the nearest I'll get to. But in terms of an autobiography, I've no plans to. I'm not going to say never because given everything that happens in life, that would be a mistake. So we'll see.
Okay.
Remember when you said to your mum or dad, can we do this? And they'd say, we ain't thing. So it's a bit of that, we ain't thing.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
And Ryan has already reflected on his life there a minute ago, playing the clips of when he was 16 and the regret that he has. Mm-hmm. So maybe putting it down in a book is not the way to go.
No. And God, if you're starting your regrets at 16, it's going to be a long book. It's like War and Peace.
What do you do with all the books? I get books all the time sent in here, right?
Yeah.
I have so many of them. And you must get quadruple the amount that I get. What do you do with all the books?
I cull. And so about once a year, I'll go up through the shelves. I have like multiple shelves. I have quite a small house, but it's like a bookshop.
Yeah.
So the shelves everywhere.
Just write Chubberties on the outside and start selling.
Do you know what? I'd love to give them away. And I give boxes of them away and to charity and to local schools and stuff like that, that's a good start because I get a lot of them. And the ones on the shelves are either A, ones I really loved, B, the few I haven't read, but I know I will someday, and C, signed books, which I quite like a signed book. So I've got signed books from everyone from, you know, Hillary Clinton to Tony Blair to Frank McCourt to, you know, I've got quite an eye, Maeve Binchy, like nice selection of signed books.
And would
books.
That have been from when they've been on the Late Late and
you've kind
of said,
and different encounters. So I just adore books. I'm not a Kindle person because I think there are too many screens in our lives and they drive me mad. I'm not anti-Kindle because I'm just pro-reading. It's not for me. I love the feel of a book. I think book spines are like art on a wall. They have different stories to tell and to pluck one off. I could judge a book by a spine, let alone a cover. I love artwork on books. And so, you know, if people are looking for really good books from this year, I'd say read Good People by Patmina Sabat is a knockout. It's rich, two-page chapters, and you don't know what the hell's happening. I'd recommend Yesteryear by Caro Claire Second. But that's about trad wives and all that. That you'll be watching that in a year's time. That is just a cracker of a book. Anyway, there's just tremendous. And all the Irish, Andrea Mara, Liz Mugin, Adele Coffey, Bray. So we're a golden age for Irish female crime writers as well. So there's just great
How
stuff.
How do you get the time? That's the only thing that I find. It's hard to
I really do make the time because I go to bed quite early and I wake up quite early. That's time. And now the beauty of my life is that because I travel so much, I'm on a train a lot to between Heathrow and London City. I'm on the plane between Dublin and London. And that's all reading time at the zoo for this monkey. Yeah. And I use it all.
Oh, it's awful when you go on a plane and you've forgotten your book. And you're just like,
oh, you're worse. Your glasses.
Oh my god, come here. Saying that, Ryan, weren't we?
We were saying that.
I'd love to be on this video without the glasses today, but I literally can't see anymore.
Yeah, I'm in the same zone. You're too young for that. Carry on. But I know I need them. I have glasses beside my bed. I have glasses in the bathroom. I have glasses in the kitchen. I have glasses beside the fireplace. I've got glasses in my car. I've got glasses everywhere. I will
on
not
your head when you're looking for them.
I'm looking for and they're in my pocket right now because I don't need them because I'm not reading anything. I don't need them for other things. But yeah, glasses. Yeah. No glasses, no eyes.
I have guests in on this radio show all the time, right? And I do want to ask you your dream guest that, you know, maybe for your show or for maybe future TV work.
Yeah.
Who would be the dream guest for you?
It's been the same since I started in radio and television. And I have never met him. Well, I've met him, but I haven't interviewed him. And I used to begin every season of every Tubberty Tonight, Late Late Show, radio show. There we go.
Thursday Night Show.
For the younger listeners, that was a show before I did the Late Late Show. I did a Saturday Night Show for 5 years. So, and that was it. And I used to always say to them, right, bring me the head of Paul McCartney. my favourite Beatle. I'm a Beatle nut. I said, I just know, I bought the albums his kids wouldn't buy because just I support him that much. And I know nearly every word of every song he's written. I'm just
really obsessed.
Put it this way, I'd be like Sandra in the Green Room. I am Paul McCartney's Sandra. I'm joking, but.
So maybe he has a restraining order against
I think
it,
he has, because when I lived in London for 2 years, I used to go for a little run and I'd run. I lived in Abbey Road, right? So I passed I lived in a flat in Abbey Road and I'd pass the walkway, the zebra crossing. And then I'd run past his house. He lived there as well in St. John's Wood. And I only ever saw him once there, and I met him once, and I made a fool of myself. So I went in through him. So that's the answer.
So how did you make a fool of yourself?
I was involved in a press junket, and we got invited to see him in Manchester at one of his gigs. I've seen him 10 times performing. So this was what, number 2 or 3. And he came out to meet us before the show. Before the meeting him, I had had a chicken sandwich, which was a critical mistake, and it comes back to haunt me. I was wearing a particularly horrible shirt that day. My hair cut was a tragic accident. And I was so excited that my eyes, I looked demented. I mean, it's straight out of a movie. A psycho stalker movie. He didn't want he didn't want his picture taken. He said, I'm not doing photographs, you know. I said, just somebody take a photo. This is my moment.
This is my one
somebody
moment, yeah.
Took a camera out. This was phone sort of situation, really. I took the camera, took the picture, and the shot is me touching him, like going, nah! Like, I mean, I'm like an apostle hanging out with Jesus, and I'm touching him, his robe, and he does this, no, right? It's no, like this face, no. And I'm sitting there, chicken in my teeth, stupid haircut, eyes dilated with excitement, and he's going, no. And actually, when you see the picture, apart from my madness, it looks like he's going, doo! Like Paul McCartney. So it looks okay, but actually he's saying, get this freak out of here.
So Ryan, that doesn't put you off from the fact that he was
I brought my daughters to see him. I brought one to see him in Munich because I was worried he wouldn't play again, but he keeps playing. It's great. I brought another to see him in London. I said, girls, you have to see Mozart playing the piano. This man is, he's otherworldly. Look at the music he's produced. Look at this song.
I saw him. Wait, he played in Dublin.
He played twice.
Or somewhere.
Him in the RDS or him in the Point or whatever. Yeah. So he's played Dublin a couple of times and he's got a new album coming out in May, the day after my birthday. And then he's going to probably start touring again. I will be there. His voice isn't great, but it doesn't matter.
I'm just saying that the running past his house.
Yeah, that's pretty disturbing,
isn't it? It's a bit baby reindeer.
I'd say a herd of reindeers, not even just one baby. It's like a herd stampeding down the road, and him going, "This guy got from Dublin again," you know. It's disturbing, and I disturb myself telling the story because I know how badly it reflects on me. But you want the truth, you can handle the truth.
I can handle it. Yeah,
you can handle it.
Do you know what's funny? Recently, that was last year. I think it was last year we did this Robbie Williams, like that junket.
Yeah.
And I loved Robbie Williams since I was a kid,
you know.
And the photograph that I got the last time I interviewed him, maybe 15 years ago or something, came out so blurry. I could have been standing with anybody in this photograph.
Oh.
I was like, oh my God, after all these years, my one chance for the photo was blurred. So then when I met him again last year, I said, is there any chance we can recreate this photograph because it came out blurry?
And?
So we did. Anyway, the person who took the photo ended up, they had the phone on video. And what they captured was me rubbing
him.
Robbie Williams' belly.
Oh, yeah.
Forgetting he wasn't, in fact, my husband.
Wow.
I'm actually, like, patting him, like, talk about invading his personal space. And it's up there on my social media. It's just so cringe. So cringe.
Yeah, yeah. But you're...
captured on video.
I think it's great that you're so honest about it, because if you hid that, that would be your shame. A dark shame.
I just forgot for a moment that I wasn't actually married to him.
I can imagine that, but that's good footage to have, though. I like that.
Oh, it's lovely.
That's great.
Best 80s song, seen as you're here in Classic Hits Radio.
I know. It's funny. I love things like what just jumped into me I love Prince.
Do you?
Yeah, I love Raspberry Beret. Yeah. Is one of my favourite Prince songs. He also had one called Boys and Girls. I don't know if you remember that one, which I used to love. I loved the 80s. I mean, I lived in the 80s. We had loads of... Frankie Goes to Hollywood, I thought, were great.
I know,
as well. Like, The Power of Love is a great song. It became a Christmas song, weirdly, but it's a great song. And then there were three Power of Loves, weren't there? There was Huey Lewis and Jennifer Rush. So there was a lot of Power... Yes. Yeah. Again, you can fill in for her, too.
You're a good singer, Ryan.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a brilliant singer. Yeah, I'm a great singer.
Come here, you are. You have a set of lungs on you.
Yeah, I am.
Could that have been another career?
I had a great night out at a karaoke bar in London a few months ago with my daughter and her pals, and we laid waste to a lot of Frank Sinatra's back catalogue that night. And it gets that off my chest. I like, because you can sing, I can hear you sing. You've got great
beautiful
pitch.
Beautiful, Ryan.
But you see, there's
his hearing and his eyesight.
No, but it is. It's great fun to belt out the songs that you like. So actually, my daughter, who's 27, my eldest daughter, her go-to karaoke song is an 80s song, which is and it's a cracker. It's turn around every now and then. I get a Bonnie Tyler.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
And what a belcher that is!
Wow,
And a good song, but it gets the crowd loved, and it's a great song to get stuck into. So
come here, Ronnie. Able to walk down the street there into a shop without someone saying, "Can I get a selfie?"
Am I able to walk down the street in Dublin or Ireland?
Yeah,
I am. Of course, I was never not able to walk down the street. It's quite nice because people are very friendly. When I went to London first, it was quite weird to try and get used to not being recognised, which is a strange thing to say. But just when you present the late, you become very well known. That's just a matter of fact. And you know, I always tell the story about I was with my daughter walking down the street, and the next thing, the car beeps, and I turn around to give a big showbiz wave, and she said, "You know, it's just heavy traffic. No one knows who you are." And it was a moment of great realization, a humbling. But then you come home and the beeps start again. You go, "Okay, there it is."
As you'd say, Ryan, in Dublin, "Scarlet for your ma."
Scarlet for your ma, and rightly so. So, but yeah, people are lovely. I get great comments and nice words from people and great support. So yeah, I love being home.
I remember Ronan Keating was on. He was talking about being home as well and how people treat, and particularly like lads, you know, in white vans and all the rest, and he'd be driving down the road and someone in a white van would beep at him and say, "How are you, Ronan?" And he'd be like, "Yeah," and they'd follow up with, "Yes, sap."
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very Irish.
Take you down a peg.
They love that. And I heard a brilliant one. I was chatting to Roddy Doyle, about the author, about Dublin. And I said, "How do you feel about Dublin?" He said, "I'll tell you about Dublin." He said, "I was walking up a Connaught Street one day, a fella stops me and says, 'Are you Roddy Doyle?' And I said, 'Yeah.' And the man says, 'So what?' And he said, 'That's Dublin.'" And I thought, that's about right. You know, much like your story. It's kind of similar vibe.
Yeah. Welcome home.
Welcome home. Now, just don't forget where you are. Good luck with that.
Forget it.
No notions. Yeah. Get out.
Ryan, lovely to see you.
Trina, thank you. I've really enjoyed our chat.
In. And make sure to have a look there. The bookshop, it's all off your Instagram
It's Instatubberty for that, or the bookshop, or the venues. It's like the Olympia in Dublin, and it's Cork Opera House. Wherever you are in those areas, or wherever you want to come and see us, we'll be there in Limerick with Blind Boy and the Brennan Brothers in Cork. And we'll announce our Dublin guest very, very soon.
Yeah, and make sure to have a look at YouTube at Baby Ryan doing his book review.
Baby Ryan, dear, after all this.
Baby Ryan, dear. Oh my God, Ryan, that's the name of your new book.
That could definitely be the autobiography. Baby Reindeer.
Get Andrea to write it for you.
Actually, that's a good one. The chat show host, the retired chat show host who becomes the stalker. I'd read that. Yeah. I'd read that. Andrea, give us a call.
I want to mention.
Yeah, big time.
Baby Ryan, thanks so
much. Nice to see you. Good luck.
It's Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.